This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What? Nothing, Mama. She's just kidding.
Boys don't like funny girls.
Loaded.
Boys don't like funny girls.
What?
Don't like funny girls.
Loaded.
Boys don't like...
Who kissed you?
The Lord, Mama.
Oh, okay, then.
Boys don't like funny girls.
What?
Don't like...
Shakespeare. I like to goof up too, you know.
Funny girls.
I'm very impressed.
Do you hate going out to the store? Do you wish you could get stuff straight to your door? Want a drink that's a little more class than beer? Well, your wish has been granted. Club W's here. They got whites, reds, sweets, and dries. And also, they'll ship it on the house. Just buy Quattro. Get $20 off your very first purchase. Just use our handy URL, which is clubw.com/GilmoreCast. Get yourself a nice selection, personalized. Give a little info about your taste. Why wait? Do it now. Come on, post haste. If you have trouble choosing wine, just use Club W. Go online. You can save your time and you can save your money, which everybody likes. How's that for funny?
Here we go.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
Gilmore Guys. I'm Demi. Sing it.
And we are the Gilmore Guys doing Gilmore Gabs, our interview series where we talk to the professionals associated with making, creating, starring in a little show we call Gilmore Girls.
Yep.
A little show everyone calls Gilmore Girls.
Some don't.
Some will.
Some maybe across the pond.
We're having a picture taken of us right now. It's a photo shoot and a podcast.
Yeah.
All in one. Maybe we'll Snapchat together later.
Every meeting.
That'd be fun. Oh, yeah. Let's hit all the social mediums while we're doing the
I'll make an
Ello
post.
Oh, an Ello post. Are you on Ello? Okay.
Who is?
I didn't think so. Who would be?
Logan Huntsberger.
Oh, yeah, L. Logan Huntsberger. That's right. We forgot about him. But, folks, this has been long awaited, long in the making. So we will not delay one second more, shall we?
Let's.
We're not going to delay.
Not for
It's not going to happen.
Second.
Delays, they're not coming.
This is going to be
because we're going straight
succinct.
Into it right now.
I want you to meet my special guest.
La la, a special guest.
Well, you know her from screen, from stage, and of course you know her as Mrs. Kim from Gilmore Girls. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Emily Caroda.
Hi.
It was such a long time. It was a real buildup for you to talk again.
I know. I'm a little nervous now.
Are you nervous? Come on. You're an actress. This should be a day at the beach for you.
Oh, cool. Okay.
This is just sit down acting.
Yeah. It's like an improvised conversation. You do improv and acting. You also do improv in life. That's something I like to say.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us
sure.
today on the show. This is such a delight, and we've so looked forward to talking to you as someone who was part of the show from episode one of Gilmore Girls, from the pilot. How were you casting that? How did that process work out?
Well, I went in, and I was just, I figured, oh, it's one of these roles, so I did my... Korean accent, or what I thought was a Korean accent, and the creator goes, "What are you doing?"
Amy like, said that.
Yeah, and so it's like, "Oh, do it straight!" Wow, what a concept. Okay, I like this.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
So you originally auditioned with a Korean accent.
I did.
Okay, because what we thought is that you would have auditioned as yourself, and then the Korean accent was applied. Because as people can obviously hear right now, you don't have an accent of that sort. You have, I mean, I guess this is an American accent that you had?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, more or less.
Uh-huh.
So you applied a Korean accent. Amy.
Bad me, huh? Yeah.
Do you often audition with an accent or do you find you have to?
Sadly, I do. So I'm like, a dog, I'm trained. And I was like, what? Oh, talk like a human being. Okay, so... That was refreshing, actually.
Okay, so you did it straight. But
yeah,
then in the show, you do have a Korean accent.
No.
Oh, you don't? Oh, what
well,
is that?
Well, maybe not in my mind.
Okay, in your mind.
Well, because Amy goes, no, but you're really military.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, got it. So that, in my mind, that's how military comes out to me. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it's more of a military accent.
Yeah, it's not really an accent. I just thought, you know, if I was like a general, this is how I would talk, with a mission.
Oh, so that's it.
That's interesting.
And then she started talking like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and they probably wrote more and more to that particular voice as the show went on.
Yeah.
Wow, what an insight. I've never heard that. That was more of a military thing than a Korean thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What was there any, like, conversation at all as the series continued to, like, evolve that voice? Or was that pretty much, that's what it's going to be the whole time? Okay.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way it fell.
Yeah.
So the audition process, who was that with? That was with Amy.
Amy.
Was it against Keiko? Was it with her at the time?
I didn't meet Keiko until we went to Toronto to shoot it. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where you shot the show?
Yeah.
Shot the pilot, and then the show was shot in L.A.?
Yeah.
And so that relationship is one of the most, for a show that's like so much about mothers and daughters.
Yeah.
The Lane and Mrs. Kim relationship is so loaded and so complex and complicated in so many ways. So how did you and Keiko build that in scenes together and in doing that show?
That just happened too. I think, you know, I have to give credit for for Amy and for Dan, you know, for their writing. It was beautiful. So I think it just kind of evolved. Keiko and I never talked about it. We never, you know, we just let it be, and it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the progress of the series, you know, she grew up, had her first date, lied to me, all that stuff. So each episode grew on the next, you know, on what had happened before.
It was kind of built into it.
Yeah. And then it became this beautiful tapestry of, you know, love and hate.
Love and hate.
Love and hate.
Yeah. Let's backtrack a little bit. When did you first start acting?
In high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the role? One of your first roles?
Well, no, I was in, it was called Dramatic Interpretation.
Okay.
Because I didn't talk until 8th grade, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, as a person, you
as
did not
person,
talk.
As a person. And still, I'm like horribly shy. So I found out, oh, wow, if I have other people's lines, I can use those words to express myself.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, that's what I do, you know, use. That's why I love acting so much. It's freeing.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't talk until you were eight. Was it so?
Eighth grade. Yeah.
It's so.
Well, I said, Emily. And if they asked me a question, I'd answer, but like with one word or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Fresno, California.
Okay, so within the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within this particular state. How did your parents react to you not talking for?
Oh, they didn't care. They were too busy. I mean, we were poor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my mom had to, she was working in a sewing factory because she's from Japan, so she didn't speak English.
Yeah.
So she worked in a sewing factory, and then my dad had a vegetable farm because after the war, he couldn't get a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were like working two jobs each. So as far as the kids go, I have two little brothers. As long as we were healthy, they didn't care.
Gotcha.
Know? Yeah.
So how did they react to you deciding you wanted to act?
They're fine.
They were supportive as long as you were healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, as long as it was just healthy acting.
I wouldn't say supportive, but not supportive.
Right. Okay.
They weren't actively
trying to dismantle your career.
No.
Okay, great. And so did you go to college and study acting there? Or
I did. I went to Fresno State.
Okay.
And then they said, you can't act. You got to teach.
Oh.
I said, all right. Okay. So I was getting my teaching credential. And then East West Players in Los Angeles came to my college. And they did a show. And I thought, well, they're acting. They're Asian. And they're acting. So
East West Players, was that specifically like an Asian American acting collective? Or
that's an Asian American theater company in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
East West. Does that exist to this day?
It does indeed.
Okay,
it's on its 50th year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And are you still a part of it?
I am.
Oh, right.
That's
on.
Great.
So I moved down.
So what are kind of some of the things they do? like here in town locally. Just put on shows and plays? Like,
just put on plays.
Specifically that are written within the company or?
We do usually a new play, a revival, done a lot of Sondheim musicals.
And you do musical stuff too?
I've done a lot of musicals,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What's one of your favorite musical roles that you
Follies, play? I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And Sondheim stuff. That's so fun.
A lot of Sondheim, yeah.
Not easy either.
No, it was great. Like I did The Baker's Wife and Into the Woods.
Really?
That was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's are there any recordings available that people can download on the internet?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's a bummer. I would love to hear Emily Kuroda as The Baker's Wife.
Oh, yeah. I learned a big lesson in that show.
Which was what?
Well, I almost quit acting because... Before that, I was pretty good with lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm horrible now. But that was the first time I went up and it was opening night and I was singing.
How long ago was this?
This was, about 20 years ago.
Okay.
I was singing the Patter song. First of which, I don't know if you know this. I went up.
Mm-hmm.
So one whole verse, I was like, da, 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 da. And I thought, oh my God. So I called the director. I said, I got to quit acting. I got to quit. And then Oscar Eustace, who was working at the Taper at the time, was there.
Yeah.
And I got a show from it. So I said, it's not that big of a deal if you forget your lines. So I learned a very nice lesson.
You got a show from him being in the audience the night that you went
up. The night that I went up.
Wow.
He was there, and he still cast me in a show.
Which show is that?
He cast me in a workshop of Philip Gotanda's Avocado Kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And so when you studied acting in college, yeah. Was it more theater acting?
Theater
I
acting.
I guess than film acting?
Oh, totally. All film theater acting, yeah.
Well, what would you say are the differences between the two?
The size, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
How big you go or don't go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for something like theater, if you were doing like Mrs. Kim in a theater context, uh-huh. It would be even bigger than what it is in the show.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
You think that was as big as you could go?
Well, I mean, this to me raises a pretty good point, which is I feel like a lot of Gilmore Girls is intrinsically theatrical.
Oh, it's so theatrical, yeah.
In a way?
Yeah.
And having to know all your stuff. Was that hard to get your head around all the dialogue at the time? Because it was so specific and word perfect and all that stuff.
So you've heard about the word perfect thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You said the, and it's a.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. And can you do it faster? Yeah, I got it.
Oh, man. Okay. But was that easier as the show went on?
Into no.
5, 6, 7? No, it was still just as hard?
Yeah, it's hard for me.
Was it hard coming back to it recently for the new episodes?
No, that wasn't.
How many of the new episodes are you in?
I'm only in one.
Just one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. I was happy. Yeah. I'm grateful.
Right on.
Cool. You figure they got 7 years of characters.
That's true.
To smush into, you know, 4 episodes, so.
Gotcha. Which episode are you in?
I don't know.
Just one of them.
One of them, spring.
It was one of the season ones.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. One of them seasons. Got it. Oh, so fun. And so the show's on. The show is kind of a hit on the WB at the time.
Yeah.
How did you, do you remember getting the call that you had gotten that part?
Uh-huh.
For it?
Uh-huh.
Was that a good day?
That was a good day. I think what I liked the most, though, was I was doing a show at East West Players the day it got picked up. And Keiko used to drive this itty-bitty little putt-putt-putt-putt-putt motorbike thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was on the second floor of the East West Players building, and I heard Emily, and I looked down, and Keiko was looking up with a little helmet on her little putt-putt thing, and she gave me the thumbs up. And that was so nice. It was like how we connected that day that it was announced that Gilmore Girls was picked
up. That's such a sweet moment.
It was a very
nice. And of course, at the time, you don't know where this is going to go, how long it's going to go.
No, not at
all. And so it's just like year to year, episode to episode, who knows. Did you start getting recognized in public when you were on the show?
Yeah, I still do, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty distinctive character.
I guess so.
And I would say, I don't think you've aged that much since the show was on.
Sure,
no, I swear, I was like, what year is this when you came to the studio today? So it's on, you're starting to get recognized in public.
Yeah.
Now, there's a few like specific character things I would love to talk about, just in like a general sense. of the show, because there's certain things, like, you know, you experience as an audience member that you're not sure how quite it's being constructed on the part of the people making the show. For instance, like different character motivations. Like for you, in playing your relationship mm-hmm. with Lane or with Keiko, what was the number one like emotion you felt like you played overall in all those scenes? Was it love, protection, fear, that sort of thing?
A mixture, but probably protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In every scene. So that was threaded throughout every episode.
Yeah,
all
of that was, I think fear of the outside world,
mm-hmm.
Protection, and the love, of course. Yeah.
Right on. And we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, how did you play the relationship or lack of relationship with Lane's father, Mr. Kim?
Where the mysterious, invisible Mr. Kim.
It's a question that's plagued us for ages as viewers of the show. So when you're playing this character, who's like, to you as an actress, like she's this fully rounded person and real as anything in this world. And so Lane did have a father mm-hmm. in your head. I'm not asking like, hey, guess where he is or write fanfic or whatever. But like in your head, when you were playing those scenes, was he absent? Was he passed away? Was he on a mission somewhere? Like,
I thought he was on a mission somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like doing a Seventh-day Adventist thing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just gone for like 7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
Did Amy ever bring it up to you? Just saying like, oh, don't worry about where he is or...
No.
No?
Keiko brings it up in one episode though.
Really?
I think she says, my dad's driving me to the airport. That's when I packed her that really big suitcase.
She's going to Korea.
Oh, yeah. The suitcase is big
and
as
I think
her.
But she said my dad, and I think they had an extra going in the car. And I was like, well, who's that?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the dad.
And there's no Mr. Kim in the new episodes. Mm-hmm. Oh, TVD.
Who's to say? No scoops this time.
No.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about NDAs and stuff before you turn on the mics. Because for Gilmore, you were NDA'd out the wazoo.
Oh, well, yeah, out the wazoo. Yeah.
And I want to talk about, like, the audition. Like, when you audition now, what they have to do for NDA and secrecy stuff, as you were telling me before.
Yeah.
So they do, like, a common practice now is that they won't give you the actual sides of the character that you're about to play or audition for. They give you fake sides.
Yeah.
So what's that like as someone who's trying to, like, just do the role and do the show?
It's so hard, especially if you're going in for a scientist or something that's very wordy. You know, if you're doing a hit show, you know, those words are beautiful. They're well constructed. But if somebody throws it together for an audition, it's not as well constructed. So it makes it 5 times harder to try to memorize.
Right.
But still, you have to do it, you know. So it's harder now, I think.
It's always funny to see fake sides because they try to get the, like, it's like, oh, we need this character to be smart and, like, punchy. So they'll try to write smart and punchy, but it's also a different person. So it's like they're tricking you.
They are tricking you, yeah.
It's always a bit
But that's not what they did for Gilmore. They just gave you straight up lines.
Yeah, that was the straight up lines.
Well, that's nice.
Well, back then, secrecy culture and like spoiler culture wasn't...
It was just turn off the computers.
Yeah. It was like just don't go on the internet.
But as the show progressed, like we couldn't get the script till like the night before or the day before. And then still, it would be leaked.
Really?
Yeah, and then we'd go, how did this happen? It's like, oh.
It'd be leaked onto the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. It's just one big mystery.
Yeah, exactly. But definitely more prevalent now than before.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. It got worse even in those 7 years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we're lucky, no one will leak the revival and we'll get to go into it fresh.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's our greatest hope.
Yeah. I mean, how, you know, and without giving anything away, how intense were they with, like, you cannot say anything about the show. Like, how were for these new episodes?
Pretty intense.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was there like a big, like, table read, sit down, like, okay, everybody, like, here's the ground rules? Or was it just like a lot of emails with Netflix people on them? Like, I'm just so curious as to like the actual mechanics of how that stuff
I
works.
Wasn't there the first episode if they had that talk, which they probably did have that talk. But then I did give an interview. I heard, like, within an hour, goes, Keiko just told me, you're not supposed to talk about it. I'm like, oh, sorry.
It's
a very small
vigilant
world.
Yes, as we found out in this show. Oh, man. Were there any favorite episodes of the show for you to play, like the episode where Lane gets married?
Or... Yeah, I think that was one of my favorites.
That was one of your favorites?
Yeah.
The 52 seed, 62 Koreans, all that stuff. Yeah. It's funny because Mrs. Kim is one of the only characters that actually has kind of an arc in the show. There is an actual change from the beginning of who she is to the end.
Yeah.
Where she's more accepting. And was that stuff fun to play with, like, being the band manager for a brief stint and mapping out their tour stuff?
It was great fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on in the interview is you were talking about, again, before the mics were turned on, that you're kind of like into the tech world and tech stuff. How did that fascination come about?
Probably because I don't like to talk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, gadgets don't, you don't have to talk to gadgets or communicate to gadgets. You just have to learn them. Right. And so that's, I think, where my fascination started.
So what are you obsessed with right now in like tech?
Oh, it's sound. I'm looking into sound now, so that's why your system is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. So for the listener at home, we're recording on a Zoom H6.
Thank you.
Recorder.
I was looking at the H4, but now I want the H6.
What would you use the H6 for?
Make my little movies.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it is great for audio production because you can actually monitor what's going on. Another great thing about this one, which unfortunately we've never done, you can do two backup recordings at the same time and one like 12 decibels higher, lower. So it never peaks out.
Okay.
But then at the same time, you never get like really bad sound.
Well, that's good in case I just start yelling.
Yelling. And the,
which I love to do.
Which has happened before. Freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the podcasts are for, the freedom to yell.
So, I mean, with tech stuff, are you team Android or team Apple for all that?
Both.
Oh,
I'm Android.
Okay, gotcha.
But my husband's Apple.
Oh. Does that create conflict at home?
No.
That's the same conflict I have with my parents. My parents are both Android fans, and they were, as soon as we got iPhones, they were like, we're disappointed, but we can't say we don't understand.
Yeah, I mean...
I would say that's the most important team of the show.
Yeah, that's the only team we need to ask about.
Right.
Okay.
Apple or Android?
Apple or Android. Yeah. We will ask this because our listeners might be...
curious.
A little curious or a little upset if we didn't. If you had to choose between the, and I know it's probably been a while since you've watched the show and everything, but just to your memory, if you had to choose between the three boyfriends on the show, Team Dean, Team Jess, or Team Logan?
Oh, that's hard.
I'm trying to recall if Miss Kim even had interactions with any of them.
Yeah.
Definitely with Dean.
With Dean.
Oh, right.
A little with Jess, maybe.
Yeah. I'd say Dean.
Dean, we got another Deaner.
Dean.
He's a sweet hometown boy.
He is. He really is.
I feel like out of the three, he's the one that got the most like play with all the, you know, cast members in those first few seasons. Yeah. Whereas Jess and Logan had their little pockets of influence in the beginning.
Sure. Yeah.
So one of the things I'm struck by, even in this conversation, is how much your non-Mrs. Kim voice sounds so much like Keiko's just regular voice.
Oh.
Like, the casting is so on, I feel like, for that sort of thing. That's a very hard thing to accomplish.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't Mara and Jamie who cast you in the show, right? It was...
No, somebody... God, it was so long ago.
It was the other people.
I think
17 years ago.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's some stuff you're working on right now?
I've been doing plays, so I've been, you know, traveling a lot doing plays like last couple of years.
What's the great upswing of doing a play rather than doing TV? Is it like the immediate gratification from the audience?
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And would you say you prefer that experience to TV? Or?
No, I like them both. Yeah. TV's kind of harder because it's so rushed sometimes, you know.
Right. Did you feel like this new production of Gilmore was kind of rushed in the same way the old one was? Like, did you notice any differences between working on the two shows? Or the same show, just like 7 years apart?
No, actually, it felt more comfortable, actually.
A little more relaxed.
Yeah. I think it's because my particular episode, Dan was directing, or were they co-directing? So, and they wrote it, you know. So, because they know the characters and Stars Hollow so well, it was so, there was an ease to the directing, and, you know, and then also we're working with our friends who, you know, I was working with Keiko and, so, you know, it wasn't stressful at all.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That was a fun little reunion.
Yeah, it was.
Man. Well, what a show. And so you're working on plays and stuff. Would you ever have any, like, interest in writing a play or writing shows of your own to
I've
do?
Written a little bit, but they've never been produced.
Okay. So. But would you like them to be produced at some point?
No, not these, no.
those are one for Emily, one for them.
Oh, I could do this. All right, next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Do you find that you enjoy the acting part of it more than the any sort of other production of
I play? Do. I also like producing too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, what goes into producing?
Just organizing. You're just kind of like your secretary, you know? But I can do that well.
I feel like it's the technical stuff of making a play, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you hire the designers you like, and you hire the venue and the actors, and you work with the artistically with the playwright and the director. So it's a little bit of everything.
I feel like in my head that seems like a lot of talking, which is why I'd be like, I don't know if I would want to do that.
Oh. A lot of negotiating, a lot of dealing with people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's in a manner that you like.
It's in a manner that I like, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, because with play stuff, yeah, that just seems like a whole world I'm not familiar with at all. Like, what's one thing you think about doing plays that would be surprising that people don't know? Like, some technical element or, like, the nature of, like, doing the same show over and over again? Like, when you tour with a play and do it the same show night through, does the performance evolve each night? Is it based on, like, the audience's reactions, or is the performance kind of just like frozen in amber?
Oh, no, it changes every night.
It changes every night. So it's kind of, it's more organic.
Yeah.
Than just like, okay, mark, line, yeah. Da, da. Okay. So that's exciting on some level.
It is exciting.
Because I think about that, like going to Broadway shows and like, how do those people do the same damn show every single night and keep it interesting and fresh after all that time?
It's like surfing. I don't surf, though, but...
You've heard.
It's how I would imagine surfing.
Yeah.
Like you get the techniques down, but things change.
Yeah, each wave is different.
Right.
So you kind of have to gauge the audience. The first, like, 10 minutes, you gauge the audience, and you say, okay, I think I'm going to play it this way. Oh, I'm wrong, and then you go this way. Yeah.
Right.
That's fun.
It's fun.
That means theater is like a sport in that way.
Yeah, it is a sport.
Yeah.
And then you have mistakes, and you can't cut.
Right.
You just got to barrel on through. So
sometimes you see sharks in the water.
Yeah.
The shallows. Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see hecklers. Do you guys get hecklers at your shows ever? Like people are like, Rosalita, or just like yelling out random stuff.
No, not since I did children's theater.
What'd you do in children's theater? What was that experience like?
Oh, it was great.
Where was it?
We were in Oakland.
Okay.
And these kids had not seen a play before.
Oh, wow.
They came onto the stage.
Oh. What was the play?
I don't know. I was a princess in a boat.
Oh, the princess in the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
boat
that
princess.
One. That
we
one.
Love boat princess.
It's my favorite.
That's a good tale. Oh, man.
I had a great time. That was wonderful. Because they really thought that I was a princess in a boat and this was the ocean.
That's great.
Yeah.
Kids will believe anything, man.
To open their minds like that must have been a wonderful experience.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Very cool. What's one of your favorite roles you've played in live theater?
I like them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all equally good.
Yeah.
Where's some more musicals you've been in? Because I just want to imagine you in more. You did Follies. You did Into the Woods.
I did. I don't remember now. Canton Jazz Club. That was it. That was an original one. I played the owner of a nightclub.
Oh, that's perfect.
Uh-huh. Company.
Company.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
I love Company.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the rest.
A bunch of good ones. A
bunch of good ones,
we'll
yeah.
We'll keep it at that.
Yeah.
Was Gilmore your first television role, or had you done TV before that?
I had done TV before, yeah.
What was your first role on TV like? Like, how was that different from the theater you were used to?
Oh, it was... No, it wasn't MacGyver. It was Remington Steele.
Oh, Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was he nice?
Very nice.
What do you remember? What role your was, or what role you had on the show?
Yeah, I was some, like, believe it or not, it's one of the few times I played like some exotic lily kind of woman.
Ooh,
yeah, I know, it's like very mysterious. And I wore this lily on my head. And I was pretending I was a good girl, but I was a bad girl.
Fun.
Yeah, but then I got busted at the end.
Bad guys always do.
The yeah, bad girls always and do. Pierce won again.
Yeah, he does that.
Pierce
does.
Won again.
It's fun, though.
It was fun. Yeah.
Do you? Are you the kind of actress that can't really watch her own stuff? Or
yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are that way, and I... In my head, I'm just kind of like, well, we get so much joy from watching you. I wish you could get that same joy. No,
it'd be funny. Like, ah, ooh.
Yeah.
So did you watch Gilmore Girls when it was on? Or would you just like skip over it because you knew you were in it?
I'd have to watch it because I wouldn't know what was going on.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And see everything in context. Uh-huh. Yeah. But when you can, you'll avoid your own stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I guess is what's great about theater is like... You don't have to.
Yeah.
There's no like recorded mm-hmm. element to it.
So I don't understand, but a lot of actors, right? Don't they like to watch themselves in dailies and stuff?
Yeah. I feel like that's a lot of, in the sense of like they think, oh, that wasn't good or I can do better.
But yeah.
I guess that's balancing the stress of having to watch yourself and the stress of having to watch yourself to get better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why I don't act.
Yeah, that's why we both don't act. Right. It's like a football coach watching the game footage.
Yeah, right. That's why we have directors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the football coaches.
Uh-huh.
Or a surfer watching the day's
that's
play.
That's right.
Classic surfer lingo. We know what we're
we
talking
know
about
all
here.
Of the surfer lingo.
Oh, man. Well, Emily, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
It's been a delight.
This has been so fun. Are you on social media?
I am.
Okay, where can people find you?
I'm not on it that much, obviously.
Oh, all right. Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram, too. E. Carota on Instagram. Twitter. I don't know. You can go to my website, emilycarota.com, and then the links are there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So you can find all the stuff there.
Yeah.
And then, in the spirit of Gilmore Girls and pop culture stuff and all the references on that show, what's something in pop culture you're enjoying right now? A movie, music, a TV show, a book, even? Something you've been enjoying recently or saw recently that you really enjoyed?
Oh, this documentary that Keiko actually just saw. Bill Cunningham, I think he's a photographer. He just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And on Keiko's recommendation, that's what I was watching this morning. And it's fascinating. And I'm going to go home and finish it.
The Bill Cunningham documentary.
Yes.
All
it's
right.
On Netflix. It's wonderful. Very, very good.
The Bill Cunningham documentary.
Yeah.
So he is like the New York photographer, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Are you into photography yourself?
I am.
What do you have? I mean, if you're a tech person, then you probably shoot on something.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you have?
5D Mark III.
Oh, okay. Right on. 5D Mark III is right. Uh-huh. The Canon lens like system is better than anything. I mean, we both have a couple of Sonys
for
cameras because they do such good video.
Yeah.
And the low light.
Yeah, low light is amazing. It's like seeing in the dark, basically.
It really is.
But the Canon lenses, like that 50 prime, you really can't beat it.
That's what I have on right now. Yeah.
Oh, is that true? Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Do you know anything about the Sony RX100-4?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have a RX100-3, if
do
you want
you?
To take a look at it. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you like it?
I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really good for if you don't want to, like, lug around a camera bag.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so it's great for that. You can put in like a coat pocket really easy. And the LCD screen, like flipping
I like
around
it.
And stuff, it's so fun for like taking selfies and whatnot. So we've used it a lot on our tours and stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, I definitely recommend it. RX4, the thing, you can do 4K.
Yeah, I know.
It, which is rad.
Yeah.
So are you looking at getting
one
of those?
It's in my cart right now at Amazon. I'm thinking about it.
Make the jump.
I would do it.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay. The shark.
I would do that. I would like as a compliment
to
your 5D.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on like what kind of, like, are you getting it as a video camera or a still camera?
Still.
It would be for stills. Okay.
And some video, though. I do video sometimes,
yeah.
too.
So. The video is really good on it. I mean, for more still stuff, I might even recommend the Sony, not the NEX-6. What's the
A600?
The A600.
Yeah. Okay.
Or A6000, rather.
Oh, 6000. Yeah.
Because I think whatever the latest version of that does 4K, too. And those lenses are pretty, I mean, not as good as Canon, but they're pretty good, especially for like the like four thirds or the crop sensor.
Yeah.
Those are really, really good. So I might recommend the 6000 over the RX100.
Okay.
It just depends on what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
This has been Camera Talk on Gilmore Guys.
Camera Chat.
Yeah, but Sony, as far as like compact camera video, is the best.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Is truly the best. And then stills, they're pretty strong, but yeah.
Okay.
We can talk more after the show.
All right. Thank you.
We will. Cool. Well, Emily, thank you so much again for joining us on the show. And we'll just play it off right here. And of course, you can find us back here on the internet on Gilmore Guys. Emily, what's a podcast you've been listening to recently?
Gilmore Guys.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Laporte, the tech guy.
Yes.
You like him?
I think high school, I used to watch his Apple recap videos all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, we got some Laporte heads over here.
Big Laporte heads.
fun. Thank you so much, Emily, and we'll see you next time on
Gilmore Guys.
Goodbye, goodbye. That was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.